Okay, good news. Shabbos for Bosei Tei's Daf is Pesachim Daf Ayin Vav. We are here at the Mishnah on the bottom of Ayin Hey Amud Beis. Now, if you remember, the last Mishnah had mentioned obviously the first Mishnah of the Perek. Kitzad Tzolin is a Pesach. Right, we said that you can't roast it on a metal spit because it might get cooked. The Korban Pesach, right, has to be tzliyesh, has to be roasted by the fire, and if you have a metal spit, so then you have a problem because it's going to get cooked by the heat of the metal, and we don't want that. So now, let's say, what happens, this Mishnah now talks about, let's say it did. Let's say, for whatever reason, the Korban Pesach got cooked by something else. What exactly do you have to do? That's going to be this Mishnah. Now, today's daf, I should say before we get into it, today's Viskus Rufu Shlema for Shira Bast for Aleya, and for Viskus Rufu Shlema for Nami Meir Bast Shoshan Rav Garezel. You should both have a Rufu Shlema Bakaru. So today's daf is one of the most consequential dapim in Pesachim lehalacha, but not for Korban Pesach. Well, I mean, there is obviously for Korban Pesach, but for in terms of us, so there's a tremendous amount of Hilchos Kashrus on today's daf, and it's almost entirely today's daf. It's almost entirely Hilchos Kashrus, which hopefully we'll point out as best that we can. Just keep in mind, right, there's a very, very consequential daf that is Kedai Dechazer over and over. Certainly, if a person is learning Hilchos Kashrus, so these will be familiar. And if you haven't, so then we'll try to explain them as best we can. So it says the Mishnah, Naga Becheriso Shel Toner. Let's say the Korban Pesach touches the Cheris, literally means the pottery, but touches the oven. Now he touches the walls of the hot oven, which is presumably back then their ovens were made out of pottery. So what do you have to do? You have to do what's called Klifo, Yikloth Es Mekomo. You have to take off. Rashi writes, if you really look at the Ramasko Yiklov, Mina Pesach, Magum Shinaka Naga Batonur. So if, I'm talking about chickens. No chickens for the Korban Pesach. So if you use a sheep, and let's say so part of the leg touched the wall, so then you have to take off just the top of the leg, because it's not Sliyesh, right? It's been roasted, it's been cooked by something else. So that's just the top. You kind of peel off the top layer. That's called Klifa. Nataf merotva shel cheres. Let's say now some of the juice, the gravy of the Korban Pesach seeped out. It fell onto the walls of the oven, and then v'chazar lav, it kind of bounced off, then it kind of dripped off the walls, and then dripped onto the Korban Pesach, back on the Korban Pesach. So now you have the hot liquid cooking that little area where it dropped onto the Korban Pesach. So there the Mishnah says, Yitol es Mekoma. There you have to do something a little bit more. That's called Yito es Makomo. You have to take its place. Rashi explains, Lo Sagile Beklipa. It's not enough just to take the tiny, just to peel off the top layer. Rather, we assume there's more transfer of flavor here. As Rashi says, Ela Benetila Yofe Yofe. You have to take it off nicely. And what we basically assume is that you have to take off a finger's a finger's width. The thickness of a single finger from the Korban Pesach, we assume that the flavor and the cooking has gone into the Korban more than if it had just touched the outside of the oven. Natav merotva ala soles. Similarly, let's say you have some juice from the Korban Pesach that fell onto flour. So what do you have to do? So again, that's part of the Korban Pesach that has now been, that now dripped onto the flour. You'll see in a second what we're talking about, what exactly the case is over here. So the gravy itself is a part of the Korban Pesach. It's now, we're going to see that it's been cooked by the heat of the flour. We'll explain exactly the case in a second. But basically, you have to yikmot es makomo, you have to do kamitza, you have to take out, right, a part of that flour, because now that flour contains part of the Korban Pesach that has been cooked inappropriately. Sachu b'shemen truma. Let's say now the second part of the Mishnah, which is a little bit different halachos. Let's say you anointed, or you, I guess, probably you don't anoint a sheep, but I guess you smear, let's say, some oil all over the animal, because I guess that does well for cooking, makes it taste better, makes the skin crispy, whatever. So, but let's say that shemen is truma, right? Obviously, only a kohen can eat truma. So, im chaburas kohanim, if it's a group of kohanim who are offering the Korban Pesach, right, kohanim have to bring it as well. So, yochlu, right, so they can just eat it. Okay, everything is fine. Im shel Yisrael, but if it's a Jewish group, right, if it's a Yisraelim, right, people who can't eat the Korban Pesach, so then it depends. Im chayu, if the Korban Pesach has not yet been cooked, if it's raw, so then yadichenu, so then you can just wash it up. Right? That's we'll talk about it in terms of Hilchos Kashrus in a second, what that means. I don't know if we'll get to that specifically today, but we'll definitely talk about why you can just wash it up. Vim tzlihu, But if it's already been roasted and you put the oil on, so then yiklof as sachitza. And then you can do klipa. You can take off literally klipa is a peel. So you can just kind of peel off the outside or take off the top layer, and everything is fine. Sachum b'shevin shal meiser sheni. So if the oil was of meiser sheni, however, right, again, meiser sheni can be eaten in Yerushalayim by anybody, but it has to be eaten in Yerushalayim, and that works out because you have to eat in Korban Pesach in Yerushalayim as well. But you run into another problem of schirus of meiser sheni. You're not allowed to do business with meiser sheni. So what's going to happen? Lo yaseh adamim al bnei chabura, because assumingly, right, one guy, we're not collecting a little bit of oil to smear on the Korban Pesach from everybody. Mistama, a guy brought his oil, that's meiser sheni, and poured it on top. So he can't then go and recoup the value of that oil from the other people in the group. So ain't put the meiser sheni Yerushalayim, because that would be a form of redeeming meiser sheni, right? You're allowed to redeem meiser sheni, but that's only outside Yerushalayim. And obviously you're inside Yerushalayim, you want to eat the meiser sheni, and therefore you can't redeem it. Okay, but those halachas we're not going to get to today. But either way, now, super important principle that the Gemara is going to talk about right now that needs to be just clarified and then just pointed out before we dive into the Zilchus Kashrus. Whenever you have two things that are, let's say, usur with each other, let's say basar v'chalav, meat and milk, or let's say you have kosher meat and treif meat. So if in any scenario, whenever you have a shayla of Zilchus Kashrus, the first question always is, were the items hot? Hotness, I don't know what I'm talking about. Heat is the only thing that will transfer flavor. So, if you had a fleshic spoon, and you use a fleshic spoon for your cereal in the morning, and you had milk, nothing has happened. It's cold milk, cereal, fleshic spoon, nothing has happened. Right? Assuming the spoon is clean, right, yeah? So, there's no transfer. If you have... Similarly, if you have, whatever reason, milk poured onto a chicken that was not cooked yet, we'll talk about soaking in a second, but today we're going to talk about kavush a little bit, but let's say you dipped chicken in milk, right? For some people, they prepare their schnitzel in soy milk, so let's say you just kind of dipped it in regular milk by accident, but it hasn't been cooked yet, there's no heat involved, so everything is fine, just rinse it off. I wouldn't drink the milk, right? Some of the milk is going to be a problem because you can't rinse off milk, right? Liquid, you can't rinse off. But the same for the schnitzel itself, you rinse it off, everything is fine. Heat is what transfers flavor, and that's where you run into kashrus issues 95% of the time. So now, this is important. Itzmar says the Gemara, chalatocham, if you have hot things falling into hot things, that's usur. That's for sure usur. Sonin l'totzonin. Let's say you have cold things, right? You're dealing with cold things, then divrei kol mutter. And again, we're not talking about liquids. We're talking about, what's it called? There's some liquids, but you need to have some sort of solid involved here, because if you have liquid into liquid, you can't separate the two, right? Rinsing it off, the point of rinsing off, let's say, the chicken is because you can get the milk off. If you have two liquids, they fall into each other, you can't rinse it out. Obviously, that's a problem. But if you have solids, or a solid and a liquid, so hot into hot, that's a problem. Everybody agrees that's a problem. Cold into cold, everybody agrees, that's fine. Like I said, if you have chicken that you put into a bowl of milk and you realize, oh my gosh, it was milk, it wasn't soy milk, so just rinse off the chicken, everything is fine. Now, what about the following? This is going to be a machlokas rav and shmuel that's known as tata gavar or ilah gavar. Let's say you have one item was hot and one item was cold. Which takes precedence? Which do we say is the determining factor whether you have heat here or you have cold here and there's no heat? Meaning, if you have one item that's hot and one item that's cold, is the cold cooling the hot, or is the hot cooking the cold, and therefore you're going to have a transfer of flavor and a problem? So what's the deal? So if cham letoch tzonin, v'tzonin letoch cham, let's say you have hot going into cold, or cold going into hot, what do you go by? What do you determine? Is there heat here, or is there no heat here? So Rav Amar Ilah Gavar, Shmuel Amar Tata Gavar. Rav says the top one is what's most important, and Shmuel says the bottom one is what's most important. So, for in our case of chicken and milk, let's just use it because we're rolling with it, I'd say the chicken was hot, and you dipped the chicken, the hot chicken, in the cold juice, in the cold soy milk. Or I guess the soy milk is mutter, but in the cold milk. So what's going on over here? The top, the chicken, is hot. That's the top one. So according to Rav, ilah gavar, so we're going to view it as if there is heat here. There is therefore a transfer of flavor. Shmuel would say no. Tata gavar, the bottom one is what's important, and therefore the cold milk is cooling the chicken, and therefore there is no problem. There is no transfer of flavor. Okay, and vice versa. Obviously, if you pour the cold milk onto the chickens, then obviously the halakha would be the reverse. Okay, Rav Ilogover, Shmuel Tatogover. The top, Rav says the top is what's important. We go by the top. If the top is hot, then there's a transfer. If the top is cold, then it's fine. But Shmuel says the opposite. The bottom one is what's important. So now, why are we bringing this here? Because we're going to bring three questions on Shmuel from our Mishnah. And the Gemara's, and then we're going to bring a couple of prices that actually prove Shmuel. Okay, so let's see. So now we're going to do our Mishnah. Let's say we have some of the sauce from the juice from the Korban Pesach that fell onto the hot oven. And then the juice falls back onto the Korban Pesach. So what do? You told us Makoma. So you have to take off the Korban Pesach. So the Kazal Kadaitach, apparently, what do you see? The Havamina is, what are we dealing with? The Cheres Tzonenes, that the Cheres, earthenware, the oven, right, is cold. Right, Mistama, right, we're talking about an area where the oven was cold. Maybe the heat didn't get there, right, or whatever it is. Or maybe you're finished roasting it already. Maybe Mistama, the oven is cold. And therefore, when you have the hot, what's it called? You have the hot juice, you have the hot gravy splattering onto the cold oven. So Bishlam Rav, the Amarti Ilah Gavar, so everything is good according to Rav, who says that the top one is what's important. So then, Mishum HaChitom is Makomo. So that's when the gravy pops back onto the Korban Pesach, where the gravy is on top of the Korban Pesach, so therefore the gravy is hot, and then you have to take it off. Azal Rotev Mirateach Le Lecharis. Right, because the gravy, again, and also the other direction, right? And the hot juice is hot, and it goes onto the cold oven wall, and then it pops back, Vader Lecharis Mirateach Le Lerotev. And then, what happens? The oven then heats the gravy, and then Hagar Rotev Pesach, and the juice splatters back onto the Korban Pesach. So Kamatavi Pesach Matmas Chimus LeLecheres. So the Pesach is roasted as a result of the heat of the juice and the wall of the oven. And therefore, you have a problem because you have to roast it, and you can't use the heat of the gravy or the heat of the klicheres of the oven. So that all works out fine. El the Shmuel, but according to Shmuel, that was the Tagavar. But if you're telling me that we go based on the bottom one, so Cheres, if the wall of the oven was cold, or given the Tzonein, who it's cold, that's going to cool off the juice and the liquid and the gravy. So my Yitolos Makoma. So why do you then have to take off part of the Korban Pesach when the juice flips back onto the Korban Pesach? Right? It's we're not judging as if this gravy is still hot because it was cooled by the walls of the oven. That's what Shmuel says to Tagavar. So the Gemara says, no, could the Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Amar Shmuel besolas v'tachas? Right, the case in the Mishnah where the liquid fell onto the flour, that's as we pointed out at the end of the Mishnah, there the flour was hot, and that cooked the juice of the gravy. That's why you got to get rid of the flour, because now you have juice of the gravy, the Korban Pesach, that was cooked by hot flour. So too, the walls of, in this case, the walls of the oven are going to be hot as well. So therefore, you're going to have to talk over, and then again, we're going to be dealing with a case where the walls cook the juice and then cook the Korban Pesach, and right, that's a problem. So now, we're going to the Mishnah again. Another question from our Mishnah. Nataf meirotvo ala solas. Again, what we just mentioned, right, that if some of the juice fell onto the flour, yikmos is makom, we have to take out some of the flour. Kasal kadai dach v'sonen tzonenes, right, the habamine is that the flour was cold. So Mishlam of the Rav, that works according to the Rav, that may log over, because he goes based on whatever is on top. And therefore, Mishum Achi, it's must as Makomo. That's why you have to take out some of the flour, because Merateach Lelesoles, because now the juice is going to heat the flour. The Hadar Hudrene, the Hadrin Lesoles from Merateach Lelesoles. And then the flour is going to heat up the juice and the liquid, and it's going to heat up the Vekamatavi Rotev Machmat Chenemus of the Soles. And now the gravy is going to be roasted by the flour a little bit. Therefore, Rachman Amar Sli Eshu Lelesli Machmas Dabarache. Right? Again, it can only be cooked by the fire, not by the heat of the flour. So you got to get rid of the flour. El Lishmuel Damar Tatagavar, but Karmel Shmuel who says that the bottom one is what we go by. So then Solas Kevan Tzonenes, Kevan Tzonenes, right? Ukuri Kamekarlai. Well, when the liquid falls onto the flour, so then we view it as if the flour has cooled the liquid. Right? And then we don't have the flour cooking the liquid. Right? So Lamali Likos Yikos is Makomo, Tiskele, Beatos Makomo. Lamali Yikmo says Makomo, Tiskile, Beito is Makomo. You shouldn't need to take out a kamitza, which is more than just where the liquid fell off. That's a deeper into the flour, right? It's like taking off a finger's breadth of the meat. So yeah, that's kamitza. That's like the equivalent by flour. So why do you need to go even deeper into the flour? You should just be able to take off the top layer where the liquid fell into. So the Gemara says. Now, the Rashi, Agav, Rashi, by the way, does not have the last part. Why should you even have to take off anything? Meaning, if you view that the liquid is cooked, according to Shmuel, if the liquid is cooked, is not cooked, is cooled, rather, by the flour, then nothing has to be removed. Right? So that's Rashi does take that part out. Okay, either way, so again, same answer. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Amar Shmuel b'solos for tachas. The case is no. The flour is hot, and so that's why you have to you have a real transfer of flavor. That's why you have to do kmitza on the flour and take off a good chunk of it. Okay. Tonight, a third question from our Mishnah. Sachu b'shemen shel truma. If you put rubbed oil, smeared oil all over the korban, and it was truma, so then mimchabur is kohanim yochlu. If they're kohanim, then you can eat it. Mimshal Yisrael, but if it's a group of Jews who are making the korban Pesach, I did that again. If it's a group of Yisraelim who are making the korban Pesach, so then imchayhu, if it's raw, so then yadichadu, they just wash it off. And tzlihu, if it's already been roasted, so then yikloth esachitza, we need to take off the peel, right, take off the outside, but not any more than that. So bishlam of the Rav, according to Rav Dama Ilagavar, according to Rav, who says that the top, we go by the top one, so amatu lahachisagi lebeklipo, that's why it's all you need to do is to take off the oil, right, take off the top layer. We shouldn't do lot sonayinhu, because the top, the oil, was cold. And therefore, there's no real transfer of flavor here. Just take off the oil, take off the top layer, right, and then everything's fine. El l'shmuel damar tazagavar, but according to Shmuel, that the bottom one is what's important. So what's going on over here? Kevin dechamu mivla bala. Right, the bottom is hot. The korban pesach, we said it's roasted, right? That's the case. And you smear it with oil. So therefore, there should be a real transfer of flavor here. Am I sagin lebeklipa? So why do you only have to take off the top? Right, nitzar legamre. It should be completely osir, right, for the Jews to eat this korban pesach, because now it's totally infused with truma, because the bottom is hot, you have a transfer of flavor, and it must be that it goes throughout the entire animal. It's just a tiny bit, right? It's smearing, it's not like you're dumping the entire bottle of oil, it's a little paintbrush, right? You're smearing, taking a brush and put it on the outside so that the skin is crispy or whatever, so that's only a tiny bit. A tiny amount, and that's not going to go into the meat at all. So it only goes, yes, in a chanami, there is a transfer of flavor, but that tiny amount of oil will only go through a minuscule amount of the sheep, of the animal, and therefore you only need to peel off the top of it. Okay, so now those are three questions we answered, so now we have some proofs for Shmuel. Now, Tanya Kavazi, the Shmuel, we have a couple of brises that are going to back Shmuel up over here. Sorry, one second. Right. Cham to cham aser. The Brisa says that if you have hot and hot, obviously that's aser. And if you put cold into hot, i.e. the hot is on the bottom, aser. So that is aser. Okay, that seems to be like Shmuel says. That's a talk over that we go based on the bottom one, and then there is a transfer of flavor right between these two items. Again, one of them being aser, or maybe an aser mixture like aser b'chol. Cham to tzonin. If the hot went into cold, the tzonin to tzonin, and if cold went into cold, then mediach. Then you can just rinse it off. Right, that's exactly like Shmuel. Right, that's Tatar Kavar, that the bottom one is what's important, is what we go by, and therefore there's no transfer. Chalatuch tzonin, midiach. If it's hot into cold, then you just wash it off. Chimin, the cham hu, the maker lay. Since it's hot, what's it called? This is a question. Sorry, if you put hot into cold, so you just rinse it off. So Gemara says, one second. If it's hot, then the maker lay. Then and even though it's cooling it off, right? Maker car, right? Even though the bottom one's cooling it off, porta, it's still gonna absorb a little bit. I mean, it's still gonna have some sort of transfer. Bala means to swallow, but blias, that's the phrase that they used in terms of transferring flavor. So it's impossible that there not going to be any blios here. It's impossible that it hasn't absorbed a tiny bit of the food. That's a klipa nibai. You should probably have to take off a klipa, right? At least the top part. So the Gemara says, you're right. Ela'ima chalatuch tzonin kolev. In that case, you do have to take off the klipa, just the outside peel off the upper layer. Tzonin latuch tzonin mediach. But if it's cold and cold, then you can just rinse it off. So, okay, another brisa that's going to have the same kind of question. We have to tweak it a little bit. Tanya idach, another brisa says, basar roteach shenafa latuch cholav roteach. Here it's more specific. If you have meat that's hot into milk that's hot, so that machin tzonin latuch cham, shenafa latuch cham, so too cold if it fell into warm, meaning the meat was cold and the milk was hot, and usher, that is a problem. And again, that's exactly Shmuel Shita, that's a tog of her, that the bottom one is what's important here. Chalatuch tzonin, but if you have hot, it fell into cold, or tzonin to tzonin, or if both of them were cold, so then mediach, you should rinse it off. The Gemara asks again, chalatuch tzonin mediach, really, you only have to rinse it off if the hot fell into the cold. I understand it, tatar gavar, but kevan dechamu, since the meat is hot, right, says it's impossible that the milk has not have absorbed a little bit, or that the meat has not absorbed a little bit of the milk, right? You should at least take off the top layer. So then the Gemara says yes, and chanami ela ima cham, same answers as before. If hot falls into cold, then you just take off the top layer. And then soning letzok soning, obviously if it's just cold and cold, then you just rinse it off and everything is fine. Okay. Mar said the following. Soning letzok soning mediach. If you put cold into cold, right, then you just have to rinse it off. That's fine. Now, we're going to have a couple of concepts over here that are not exactly related to what we said before, but again, while we're on the topic of kashrus, if you had cold that fell into cold, I lost place here. Sorry. Okay. Amar mar. Tzonin letok tzonin. Cold into cold, mediach, all you have to do is rinse it off. Amar of Huna. Huna says, lo shanu el shalom molcho. That's only if it wasn't salted. Av a molcho, but if it was salted, if one of the items was salted, so then osir. Then it's going to be osir, because salt, as we're going to see in a second, right? Salt is, in certain scenarios, has the capacity to cook, or we'll see, kind of. As Damar Shmuel, Shmuel said, meliach hareu karoteach, kavush hareu kemavushal. These are two concepts that come up, not necessarily so common in the everyday kitchen, but definitely concepts that are prevalent in when you learn basmachalev and taroves and kashrus. So meliach is karoteach. If something is salted so much, Shulchan Aruch Paskins, it has to be salted to the point where you wouldn't eat it because it is so salted. So that is karoteach. That's as if it's boiling. That's as if it's hot and it's going to transfer flavor. Now it's not going to absorb flavor. It's going to transfer flavor. So if the meat, let's say, was salted to the point where it was salt, to the point where you couldn't eat it, so then it's going to send flavor into the milk, but it's not going to actually absorb the milk. Okay, fine. And kavush also. Kavush are kumavushal. I mentioned, I think, for a second earlier, that if something is, literally kavush means pickled, but if something is soaked, then it is like cooking. Now, what does that mean? Salt soaked like cooking? So we paskin, there's a discussion amongst the Rishonim, we paskin, if something is soaked for 24 hours, so then it's as if you cooked it. Now, that doesn't come up so often, but again, in the case I mentioned earlier, let's say you know what you're doing in the kitchen, and you know that schnitzel comes out much better if it has been soaked in soy milk. And sure enough, Erev Shabbos, or Thursday, whatever it is, you put the chicken in soy milk, and all of a sudden you realize it was milk. Well, if that chicken was soaking in milk for 24 hours, and again, milk might be a bad example, because it's machlokas as to what types of liquids are included in soaking, but that might be a bad example. Either way, according to this concept, let's say that milk is included in one of those items. Theoretically, if it had been more than 24 hours, so then the chicken would be usser. You could not rinse it off like normally if you had just soaked it for an hour, right? 24 hours, that's how we paskin. Kavush will be kavushal. Okay, fine. Just two concepts that come up. Again, we're going to have more hilchos kashrus as the daf goes on. Amar Rava. Rava said, "Ha damar Shmuel melech harikurutach." This Rava says this, that Shmuel said that salting is like it's boiling. It's like it's hot. Lo amran el shalom nechal machmas molocho. Okay, I jumped the gun. That's only if it is so salty you wouldn't eat it. Avon nechal machmas molocho. But if you would eat it, right? If it's very very salty, but it was still edible. So then lo, then that's not true. Okay, ha'u bar gozla denafal akada the kamcha. There was a gozla is a pigeon. So a pigeon fell into a kada of kamcha, is a jug of kamcha. And Rashi says kutach. Right, we've had several times in this stuff on the cycle. Right, this type of milchic dip made from I think it's moldy bread and some milk and some other stuff. I forget exactly. But this fell into some dip, some milchic dip. So Sharia Rav Chinana Bere Derava mi Pashronia. So Rav Chinana, the son of Rava from Pashronia, said it was mutter. That is actually mutter. Now again, obviously it was dead. It wasn't alive. The chicken, the pigeon was dead. So it fell into this milchic, and Rav Chinana said it was mutter. So Amar Rava said, "Wow, man chokim the Mishra Milsa." Right? How great is he? How smart is he to be able to make it mutter? Milsa kiha, like this topic, like this actual case. How could you matter this? That's amazing. Right? Ilav Bar Chinana Bereid Rava Mipashonia. It's Gavar Rabbahu. If you weren't Rav Chinana Bar who was a great, if you weren't such a great person, Amalacha, I would have said to you, I would have answered. He's not asking a kash on it. He's saying that this is the reason why Rav Chilna, who's such a great person because he muttered it, the reason he said it was mutter is because melech kiroteach is only if it's inedible because of the fact that it's so salty. But if it was edible, so then, and the case here is that the what's it called, the pigeon. Or I guess probably the kutach, probably more accurately. But the kutach is, even though it's very, very salty, right, it still is edible. Okay, and therefore there was no, it wasn't usur, right? That was his reasoning. V'ani milichai, and this is only if the pigeon is raw, right? Amal tzli, but if it was roasted, meaning if it was hot, then by klipa, then you have to take off the top, right? That, as we mentioned, right, a couple minutes ago. V'lo amran el de les lepili, and that's only if the meat is not cracked, if there's no holes in the meat. Aval ispe pili, but if it does, if the meat is already cracked, so then usur, then it's going to be usur again because the milk is going to seep into the milk, into the meat, into the bird meat, and then it's going to be usur. V'imetubal the tavli, and if it was in spice, if it had spices, so then it's usur, then it's going to be usur as well. Again, because the Rashi says, because if you look at Rashi, what is it? Yeah, the last one. The tavli merachele, because the spices, I guess the spice rub that they used back then, makes the meat soft and then much easier. Right, we might say ubali, and then it will absorb the milchika kutach. Okay, fine. Like I said, daf laden with hilchos kashrus. Amar Rav, Rav says as follows: basar shchuta shamin shetzalo and basar nevela. Now, this is a sugya called recha milsa. Whether the reach, whether the aroma, whether the the smell, not the steam. Steam is a different issue. That's an issue with liquids. But the smell, if aromas of something is legitimate, well, who cares? Well, can you cook? And this is the case in the Gemara. Can you cook kosher meat and treif meat in the same oven? Right, even though they're not touching. Right, again, we said that you need heat to transfer flavor. Yeah, okay. You also need the items to touch, and you need to the treif meat, or let's say the milk, or whatever it is, whatever halakha you're dealing with, right, to touch the other item. If they're separate, so then there's no issue. Let's say they're cooking together in the same oven. Wait, let's say I would argue that, you know, anytime you cook, let's say, just for Erev Shabbos, you cook potatoes with the chicken, so the potatoes are going to have a flavor of the chicken. And the same thing the other way. But there is some sort of flavor, some sort of aroma, that I probably shouldn't say flavor. There's some sort of aroma, some sort of smell that will penetrate from one to the next, but they're not touching. So is that considered halakhically significant? So this is also a well-known machlokas between Rav and Levi. So let's say, basar shchuta shamein, let's say you have fatty meat, that's shechted, obviously kosher meat, shetzlo in basar nevela kachush, and you cooked it in the same oven, but separate, with lean, non-fatty, nevela meat, meaning that treif meat. So again, nevela is an animal that died without shechita. It's usur. So that's according to Rav. My time, why is that? Because they are literally means they're fattened by each other. But again, the what's it called? Even though the treif meat is not so fatty, so then it's going to absorb the aroma, the recha of the fatty kosher meat, right? I mean, even though, again, we assume that the fat is what's really going to make a strong aroma or a strong, smell over here. So even though the kosher meat is fatty and the treif meat is lean, there's still going to be a transfer over here, according to Rav. Levi Amar, no. Afilu basher shchuta kachush should solo in basher nevela shami. Even if it was the opposite, right? Even if there's not so, meaning Rav's case was, even though there's not so much aroma coming from the treif meat because it doesn't have so much fat, it's still usur. Levi says the opposite. Even if the treif meat is fatty and there's going to be a lot of aroma from the treif meat, and it's the kosher meat that's lean, it doesn't have so much aroma, and therefore the kosher meat theoretically would absorb the aroma of the treif meat, that's mutter. That is actually mutter. My time, what's the reason? Because recha ba'almahu v'recha lav milsahi. Recha is just, it's just aroma, and aroma and smells is nothing. That's Levi's shita. So how do we, just to finish off the thing for a second, Avid le uvda be reish galusa bigdi. So Levi, what did I say? Avid Levi, uvda be reish galusa bigdi, or Levi Paskin, and the actual, short by two words, Levi Paskin, the Shaila, in the house of the reish galusa, what was the case? Bigdi v'davar acher. with a goat and something else. What's something else? So the Gemara uses Dabar Acher in a couple places, and it, one of the things it uses Dabar Acher to speak about is, as Rashi says, one word, chazir, pig. You had a pig in the Reish Galusa, in his house, in his oven, cooking with a goat. And Levi said they weren't touching. Levi said, everything is fine, the goat is mutter. Akenekach, you could roast literally a pig and a goat in the same oven, not touching, far apart enough that they don't touch, and everything is fine. Now, how do we paskin? So we paskin lechachila that recha is milsa, but b'di'eved, after the fact, right? If you find out that for whatever reason you were cooking two meats in one oven and you find out the second one was strafed by accident, so b'di'eved it is mutter lechachila. Obviously, not obviously, but lechachila we don't do that. But b'di'eved it is mutter. Okay. May say, hold on one second. Let me ask a question on Levi. The Brisa says, "In solon shnei pesachim ke'achad, you're not allowed to roast two korban pesachs in the same oven, right? Obviously over a fire, right? Mipnei hatarovis, because you're going to mix them up. Now, what does that mean? What is mixing them up? Right, so Rashi says, "V'nitzah pesach ne'achal shalol nuyav," because right again, the korban pesach has to be eaten by those people who are on the list. If you have two korban pesachs, you might get confused whose is whose. So that is a problem. That's what Rashi says. Right, even if they're different, animals, right? So in mitchalfim zevazeh that you could not possibly confuse one for the other. Still, that's no good. So the Gemara says, "My lab tarobis taimin." Doesn't that seem to imply that it's with two different flavors? Right, the fatmei me'adadi. Right, what's the reason here? Right, even if you're not going to come to, confuse one or the other. So obviously, there's no issue of Reuven's group eating the goat and Shimon's group eating the sheep because they're totally different looking. Or no one's going to get confused, but still usher. So doesn't that seem to imply that there's some transfer of aromas here, right? And therefore they're going to feed one into the other, right? And you're going to be eating the flavor of a korban pesach you weren't registered on, and that's a problem, right? You're mixing up the timing. The kashya levi, that seems to imply that recha is milsa, and you can't cook them together in the same oven, even though there's no concern that you may confuse one for the other. Gemara says, lo, mepnei taruva is gufin. No, we're confused because you may come to exclude one or the other. No, we're still concerned, and even if they're different animals. Because again, the Gemara says that for whatever reason, even though they look different, it could be that you'll get confused, you didn't realize, you'll forget, etc. So Gemara says, "Achanami mistavra," and that actually makes sense. Maybe Tani Sefer, because the second part of the Brisa says, "Afilu b'diva tlet," right? Even a goat and a sheep. If you're telling me the concern is that you may confuse one korban pesach for the other, one group will get confused and take the wrong korban pesach. So that's why the price has to qualify. Even if you have two different animals, it's still usher. So but if you're concerned about one flavor of the korban pesach going to another korban pesach, and now you're eating another korban pesach's flavor, who cares what kind of animal it is? Right. All animals are going to transfer flavor, transfer aroma, transfer recha, if they're in the same oven. So, Elamaya, what do you have to say? The concern here is because you may come to exchange one korban pesach for another, avla tarubas taimim shari, but a mixture of flavor is going to be mutter. So, okay, so that's how Levi would understand the brisa. The problem is, and that seems to be a kash on Rav, right? So, Levi, what do you have to do, right? If you're telling me that we're not concerned for the transfer of flavor, so that's to prove that recha lav milsa, and that Rav is not correct, and that aroma is not a big deal. So Amar Yirmiyah, Hacham Layaskinah, no. The case over here is kegosh et slow b'shtei kederos b'shtei kederos. The case here is where you cooked it in two pots. The Gemara says, b'shtei kederos is off like that? What, you cooked the korban pesach in a pot? How, you have to roast the korban pesach. What are you talking about? Ella, rather, ema ke'in shtei kederos. No, it means you roasted it like they were in two different pots. This is what it means to say. You can't roast two korban pesach in the same oven because you might get mixed up. My taroves, what kind of taroves are we talking about? Taroves taimen. Yeah, because we're mixing flavor. This is how Rav would understand the brisa. Because of flavor. Right, even if it's as if they're in two different pots, the lekataravas taimim, where you won't even have a mixture of flavor, that's also aser, because aser mishim taravas gofit, and also because you may come to exchange both korbanos. Afilu gedivik tla, even if it's two different looking korbanos, we're still concerned. So according to Rav, you have two concerns in the brisa. The first concern is the concern of the aroma, the recha, going into each of the korban pesach, And then, even if that's not possible, because they're so far away from each other, but they're in the same oven, I guess it's a very big oven, they're so far away from each other, they're not going to exchange aromas, so they're not going to exchange recha, still that's a problem, because you may come to exchange one korban for the other, and you may get mixed up. Okay. Now, this, excuse me, this concept of recha milsa, recha lav milsa, Amrav Mari, if Mari says kitanai, maybe it's a machlokes tanai, because I wrote the pas chama shenasna al pichavis yayin shal truma. Let's say you put some bread, take some hot bread, pas chama, hot bread, and you put it on top of a barrel of wine, and the wine is truma. Now, so what's the deal with the bread? So Rabbi Meir oser. So Rabbi Meir says if you're not a kohen, you can't eat it. Obviously, if you're a kohen, then you can eat it, no problem. But if you're not a kohen, then you can't eat it. Rabbi Yehuda matir, Rabbi Yehuda says it's fine. Rabbi Yossi matir shebishal chitin oser bishal seorin. And a third opinion that it depends on what type of bread it is. If it's wheat bread, then it's mutter. If it's barley bread, then it's aser. But pnei seorim shoeves, because the barley bread apparently absorbs more than the wheat bread. So the Gemara says, "My lav tanai, isn't this our machlokes?" Right? The Gemara savar recha lav milsehi. The Gemara savar recha milsehi. That's exactly the machlokes. Whether they absorb the reach, whether the bread absorbs the reach of the wine. So the Gemara answers, actually, kind of. The Levi vade tanai. According to Levi, this is for sure a machlokes tanai, and this is exactly our issue. The Rav, but according to Rav, who says that recha is milsa, name a tanai. Maybe it is a machlokes tanai. So the Rav would say no. It's kuli alman recha milsa. No, everybody agrees. Says Rav, according to my shita, that recha is legit. That aroma is legitimate. The lav ibmer Allah, but it was said about this brisa that he amar Rav Bar Barachana amar Yish Lakish. If it said that about this brisa, that it depends on what the case is. If it's hot bread and the barrel is open, so everybody agrees it's aser. The pas sonez v'chavis magufa. If the bread is cold and the barrel is closed, so then everybody agrees the recall mutter. Everybody agrees there's no transfer. Lo nechlaku el pas chama v'chavis chasuma. The case is where the bread the bread is hot, right, and the chavis, the barrel is closed, and pasonen is for chavis pesucha, or where the bread is cold and the barrel is open, and the hanami kepas chama v'chavis pesucha damya, and so too this in the case of again roasting the meats together. So this case of like two, let's say even let's say treif meat and kosher meat, so that's similar to hot bread and open. An open barrel. So, okay, so Rav would interpret that that price, everybody agrees with me, but it depends on the mitzias, right, whether the bread is going to absorb the wine. And the only case, again, when Rabbi Yehuda would say it was aser, is it was hot bread over an open barrel, and that's similar to roasting, because says Rav, it's similar to roasting two meats in one oven. Rav Kahana Breder of Chinna Saba, Tani Rav Kahana, Rav Kahana Breder of Chinna Saba, he taught the following. Pas she'ifsa she'afa in tzli betanur. Let's say you have bread that was baked in an oven with meat, right? You put the meat on the bottom, bread on the top, or whatever. So asur la'achla b'kutcha. You cannot eat it with kutach. Again, as we pointed out, this dip that was milchik, because the meat absorbs, right? Because the bread absorbs the aroma of the meat, right? Again, that's again seemingly paskening that recha milsahi. Fine, Seder Gomor, but that's a little bit different in terms of the Rishonim, how exactly they how they understand this. Right, the Pashtus is, again, according to Rashi, that this is Rav's Shita. If I'm not mistaken, other Rishonim say this is even according to Levi, because it could be that there's some sort of, I forget exactly how this goes according to Levi, but it could be also according to Levi. It's not necessarily, as Machlokes Rishonim, it's not necessarily paskening like Rav that Reichon does. Okay, fine. Let's say some fish that was roasted together behadi bisra with meat, right? Again, in the same oven. So an asra rav b'parzikya lemichla b'kutcha. So Rav said you can't eat it with kutach. Also, again, because it was an issue. It was an issue because it may have absorbed the flavor. Again, also talking about Recha Milsa, or is here the Machlokas? Here might be the Machlokas Tana. The Machlokas Rishonim. Let's see here. Okay, I'm not going to take too much time. Right, okay, Rashi quotes. Either way, in one of these cases that I just quoted before, there's a Machlokas Rishonim. It may apply to both of them. I'm not sure. I have to chazer again a little bit in terms of whether we're passing like Rav or not. Either way, again, like I said, the halacha is like Rav Lechachila, but like Levi B'dieved, that if after the fact, that if you did roast two things together in the same oven and they didn't touch, but the we do Paskin B'dieved, that Recha Lav Melsa. Okay, either way, let's just finish up. Again, something else that's Nogela halacha that perhaps will have impact on this Shabbos as well. Mar Baravashi Amar Afilu B'mnucha Nami Asura. Even eating the fish that was roasted with the meat in the same oven, you can't even eat it with salt. Forget the milk. You can't even eat it with salt. It's no good for odors, right? For smells, right? Because of bad breath, and for davar acher. Again, the second davar acher we have on this daf, right, as Rashi explains, saras, that it could cause saras. And this is again one of the makaros that it's dangerous. It could cause saras if you eat fish and meat together. So Mar Baravashi, again, he's holding like Rav that even if the fish and meat are not actually together, but they were cooked together in the same oven, you still may run into this issue. And again, that certainly I think many Jewish households are familiar, right? That you know, if you ever have meat on Shabbos, you have a different fork, different plate, right? That's halacha that certainly comes up. Okay, fine. Not the time to elaborate on it. But either way, have a great Rabosa. Have a great Shabbos Rabosa. Shabbos Yimilugo Milizogo Rufura Krova Lavo for the people who need a Rufur Shalema. And we'll go back to the Heilige Shas tomorrow.